this morning. I'm better now. I'm better now. I guess, you know, it kind of fits with my message. So, yeah. This is the last one in this series that I've been sharing with you. I was wrestling this morning, this week, as I prepared it, because it's really been more about me than you. Okay, you need to know that this series has been more about me turning 60 than you guys. Wrestling with, you know, that who are we and who am I, you know? And, you know, I come here as a pastor and have these dreams of what I want to see. I remember talking to him and saying, I want to see a church that's 1,000 people here and perfect location. And 31 years later, I'm 60 years old, and it's like, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. And you wrestle with life, and, you know, and I started doing some research and finding all sorts of interesting things of young girls from 12 to 20, their self-image just plummets. That 50 million Americans annually right now are depressed. And so I realized, you know what, I'm not the only one. And so though this has been about me, maybe I hope that maybe it touched some of you. Maybe it spoke to some of you. This is the last one in this series. As we try to figure out that search for sin, who am I, and why am I here, and the pressures to perform. And so we need to kind of wrestle with that. You know, the first message I kind of get with that performance, that we have to have success, that we have to be perfect, that we set these standards up here. What was funny this morning, I was looking on the internet, just kind of reading some of the news, and it was one of the articles, 10 ways to succeed.
There's a VeggieTales movie for it.
You know, we have that pressure to succeed. You know, make lots of money, buy the new car, the big house, you know, this, and, you know, be perfect. You can't have any flaws. You know, and then we have this approval. We want others to like us. We want others to appreciate us. We want others to love us. And we have this, you know, we have that performance trap, and now we got this approval addiction. You know, I want people to like me. You know, I want people to appreciate me. I want somebody to say, hey, you're a good guy. Yesterday I was at my BBS clinic and learning about BBS, and they asked me to write your name on the bag. They gave us a bag that we're going to fill up, write your name on the bag, and write something else on the bag, or draw a picture on the bag. I wrote Gary the Great on my bag. All right? You know, I mean, we wrestle with, you know, lots of people, you know, you guys need to think I'm great, help me out. And we wrestle with that. And then last week we talked about blame. We play this blame game. If you've raised a kid, you might have two kids, you might have three kids, but you got one other kid that's invisible. And he's, I don't know. Right? Because I don't know, did it. They broke the lamp. I don't know, did it. You ever watch that Abbott and Costello, Who's on First? Come on, some of you guys are old enough. Some of you guys know who's Abbott and Costello. Who's on First? No, what's his, you know, get all, you know. Well, you got one of those in your house. Because I don't know. I don't know in my house. And we want to blame. Well, this morning, I kind of want to kind of, instead of blaming, there's something else we do. And there's another challenge we do. And it really hurts. Because it really strikes it. And I think this is Satan's greatest. It's called shame. And if you look at what we're going to look at, what I want us to think about this morning, I want us to kind of think about shame. We all have a past.
So I can see.
We all have something, you know, and in our closet, I was talking this morning with somebody, we all got a closet. Anybody, you know, you got a closet, just, you keep the door closed, you don't want anybody to see. Anybody got one of those closets? You know, you don't want anybody to know about this closet. You know, you don't want anybody to know what's going on in this closet. You know, and you kind of hide this because there's some shame, and you're kind of ashamed of it. And we live our lives, and we wrestle with these kind of ideas and these thoughts. And, you know, it might be our appearance. It might be what we wear. I mean, I'm looking at the new TVs that are coming out. I thought HD was pretty good. You got that HD TV? You got that, your HD TVs? You know, they're coming out with what's called 4000, right? 4K, right? Anybody got a 4K yet? They got these 4K TVs. I remember actors and actresses talking about, they were kind of worried. Because now, you know, there's so much detail, you're going to see every little flaw. You're going to see every little pimple and dent.
And it's just, we worry about that image. You know? And you know, you get these magazines, they got all these pictures. I almost put a picture of me up there. I had one, remember, a long time ago I did a picture, cut my head off and put it on a muscle guy, you know? Yeah. I was going to bring that picture back up, you know, because we worry about that image, that appearance, you know? I think it's really hard on young girls. You know, who got a zero dress? Now, come on. You know? And then we got this thing, I don't know about you, but I love Photoshop. Anybody? You know that program Photoshop? I take pictures and clip and cut and, you know. And they can make you skinny. They got a thing, you just click on this thing and you just kind of pull it in. I've used it, okay? You know? Because we worry about our appearance, you know, and we worry about all this kind of stuff, you know. I'm ashamed. I got a gut now. You know? What do you do? I mean, come on, you know, it's... Somebody said I got to quit eating white bread and rice and that'll help. Licorice? No, I got my licorice right here. See, I got licorice right here. Yeah? Little lint with your licorice doesn't hurt. Come on. Yeah? But we worry about it. Am I right? Come on now. You know, shame and we wrestle with all these things because... And so we fall into this trap. I got this little equation we've been looking at through this message there on your outline. And it says this. My performance and other people's opinion about me equals my self-worth. We try to base how I feel about myself on, am I perfect? How many failures I have? What other people think about me? What other people say about me? We try to base who I am on those topics. And when we don't measure up to what that magazine holds up, you know, you stand at the cashier's line, you're going out of the store, I don't care what store it is, and here's all those magazines, right? Come on. You know? And we stand, and it's like, you know, we don't look like that. Well, maybe you do. I know I don't. You know? And we wrestle with this. And then there's shame, and you know, we all got that past, you know, that stuff that we just don't like talking about, that stuff in our lives that we just can't get along, and it causes problems. And see, what happens is sometimes that outweighs, it becomes so big. We all have trash. We all have garbage. We all have stuff. But what happens when that stuff gets so big that it affects who we are? Many times in this series of messages, I talked about a guy named David. Anybody? David, the great king of Israel. And we kind of talked about David, and we've seen a lot of things in David. And I want to tell you, I see some of this in David. Now, you need to think, David's a peeping Tom, okay? You know, he's on top of his palace looking down at that young lady. And I'm going to be honest, I don't think that was the first time he looked down at her when he said, go get her, all right? He probably looked at his wife, okay, it's time now, she's going to be out there. And so that peeping Tom turned into an adulterer who turned into a murderer. And we've seen this in his life. Now, he did pretty good trying to hide it, right? He tried to ignore it. But here's a passage. Psalms 51 is a really great Psalms. I encourage you to read it. We're going to read parts of it this morning. And I'm going to start with one of these verses right here, the third verse. Because I think David is finally realizing what's going on. Look at what it says here. I know about my wrongs. I can't forget my sin. David's sitting there saying, you know what? I got garbage in my life. I've got a past. I got things that I've done that I just can't forget, that I just can't run from, that I can't just ignore. Yes, I'm the king of Israel. Yes, I have success. Yes, I have all of this. I defeated Goliath. I didn't kill Saul, but yet I've got this stuff in my life. And see, I think we all wrestle with some of the things in our life, some of the garbage in our life, some of that past. You know, it just seems to hang on, and I kind of see David sitting there as he's finally confronting it in his life. He's finally willing to admit it. He's at a point in his life, see, so kind of give you what happened is, he had kind of tried to hide this, but the problem was everybody knew about it, okay? I'm going to be honest with you. There's not too many secrets that we have that somebody doesn't know about. Am I right? And so he's trying to hide this, but finally one of the guys, well, a prophet that God said, go see the king. His name's Nathan. He says, go see the king. And so Nathan goes and sees the king and tells him, guess what? I got a story to tell you. And finally gets David to confront the fact that, yeah, everybody knows. And so David's saying, I know. I know I have this in my life. I know what I did when I was on top of that palace roof. I know what I did when I took this other man's wife. I know what I did when I set this man up to die. I know I have a past. And he's finally facing that past. He's finally willing to struggle with that past. And I think most of us have some stuff in our lives. There's things in our past that we wish didn't happen. There's choices we made that if we got a chance to redo, we'd do different. There's situations and there's circumstances. There's words that we've said. And we have this past. But see, the problem comes when we start defining who we are today by that past. When we let that past dictate who we are. See, and David was finally confronted with it. And so this morning, that's what I want to do this morning. I want us to kind of step back and say, what do I have? Am I allowing my past to dictate my today? Am I allowing my past flare, my past faults, my failures, my appearances? Am I allowing my past to affect me today, to impact me today? See, here's what I put. I'm going to have it on the screen because I thought this little statement, I know it's a shame if you're looking at your outline, it says this. I am what I am. I cannot change. I'm hopeless. See, we let sometimes our past get so far. Satan takes that past and he uses it real effectively. He uses it very skillfully. I am what I am and I cannot change. I'm hopeless. That's just me. That's who I am. Have you ever anybody, maybe you've said that. I've heard people tell me this as a pastor. I can't change. I that's just who I am. That's just my makeup. And they say things like that, and they wrestle with things like that. See, and we let our past dictate who we are. That's Satan's work. And that's what Satan drives into us. And he uses real effectively. You know, why do you expect more of me? Because that's just, I don't have that much expectation of myself because I can't change. You know, why do you expect that? You know, why? And we wrestle with those kind of things, you know, and we wrestle with those kind of situations. You know, I've always been this way, and I'm always going to be this way. Anybody ever say things like that? I know, if we're honest with ourselves, and we wrestle with them. Because see, and here's what I put. I put these two words here. Pessimism. Pessimism. It's like, this is who I am, and that's it. I can't change. Why even try? I'm just pessimistic. It's just leave me alone. Don't bother me. Don't expect anything of me. Just, I can't. Why should I even try? Why should I even get up this morning? Why should I go there? Why should I do this? I just can't. And you let your past create this pessimistic idea in you. If you don't have, if it's not pessimism, how about guilt and regret? How about guilt and regret? You know, we feel guilty. You know, we got those things, and we feel guilty. Now I found the different. Let me tell you, I found the different definition. Guilt and regret are different. Guilt is about things I've done. Regret is how I've hurt other people. And we have those. You know, we have those regrets, and we have that guilt in our life that we let destroy us, and we let imprison us, and we let enslave us. And Satan uses these tools in our lives. And so we just kind of, well, this, it's just who I am. I might as well just go ahead and do it anyway. You know, I love the Romans. I like the book of Romans. You can read the book of Romans. It's really great. I like this. The Romans are going along, trying to figure out, not the Romans, but some people in that first century are going along and they're wrestling with sin. And here's what their conclusion was. Now, think about this. They go, okay, God loves giving grace, right? Everybody agree with that? Is God a gracious God? And you get grace when you sin, right? So God loves giving grace. Grace comes when you sin. So you know what I need to do? I need to sin more. Because God loves giving grace. And we wrestle with this guilt. We wrestle with this regret. Well, I can't change. Don't expect much of me. And we live this. And so I put these words here. Here's the effects. You have this inferiority. Everybody's better than me. Nobody else has my problems. Nobody else knows my problem. I'm going to tell you something. We are no different. Dan and I were talking the other day. I love the Old Testament and I love the minor prophets. You want to read some good, you want to read some books? Go read. I'll say, go read. It starts with Hosea, Joel, and Amos. You go on to Obadiah and Jonah. See, I know them, okay? I know them, you know? You got Habakkuk, and you got Zephaniah. You got Haggai and Zechariah, and you got Malachi. There's like 13 of them, I think. Go read those books. We haven't changed in 3,000 years, guys. So you think you, nobody. Go read those books. Jonah runs from God. Amos marries a hooker. I mean, go and read those books and see what's going on. And we think we're so different. We're the same. But we get this inferiority feelings. Or how about this? A habitual destructive behavior. I'm going to do it. I might as well go ahead and do it. I just give up. I can't fight it anymore. I just give in. And it's just, I just let it destroy us. Just keep going back. Keep going back. I put this other one, self-pity. Poor me. Poor me. I just, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Poor me. Let me tell you, when you're sitting on the pity pot, there's only room for one. When somebody's on the pity pot, I don't want to be in the room. All right? That we sit on this pity pot, you know. Well, if I hadn't, if you hadn't, if they hadn't, pity pot. And how about this? Despising our appearance. Yeah. Just look at me. I don't even look good. I'm pretending because I am Gary the Great. I do look good, all right? Laura dressed me this morning and makes it okay, right? Yeah. But we do. I mean, come on. We watch TV. You get these magazines. And it's like, Anybody remember Jack LaLanne? Come on. All right. Some of you guys do. I'll never look like that guy. You know? But we get these images. Yeah. If you don't think so, watch those commercials for those exercise machines. 300 more calories if you do it this way. Yeah, all right. Yeah? Because we got this appearance thing in us. See, and we carry this shame around. You know, we carry all, you know, pessimism and regret and guilt, and we carry all this around because we got it. We all have it, okay? But the problem is when it dominates our thought and it dictates who we are, when it dictates who I am. I look over my life, and I stand here, and I've said this before. I don't understand why God called me to be a pastor. If you went back and talked to my aunts and uncles when I was growing up, they would go, they don't know how either. All right? You talk to some of my teachers, they would really wonder how. You know? Because, you know, I grew up one way, and now I'm a different. Do we change? Wait. Can we change? You know, can we be different? And I want us to think about that this morning. I want to challenge you this morning. Can you be different? Can you change? Do we have to allow our past to tell me who I am today? Can I be different tomorrow? Can I be different when I walk out those doors? I'm going to tell you what. Yes. But it's scary. I was reading a story this week, and one of the psychologists I read a long time ago when I was in school, Paul Tournier, gave a description like this. Anybody ever go to the circus? Anybody ever been to the circus? Anybody? Anybody see a trapeze artist? Anybody ever watch a trapeze artist? You know, they swing from bar to bar. You see these trapeze artists? And he kind of said it's like this. You know, it's like a trapeze artist. He's hanging on the bar and he's swinging back and forth. And his partner's on the other stand over there and he swings out that other bar. And now he has a choice. He's swinging. And here comes this other bar. And now he has a choice. Does he reach out and grab that bar? Does he reach out and grab that bar and let go of the other one? See, I want to challenge you this morning that you have a choice. You're like that trapeze artist. There's a bar swinging toward you. Christ has swung a bar towards us. Christ has swung this bar towards us. And we have a choice. I can cling to my past. I can cling to those heartaches, to that shame, to that regret. Or I can let go and grab that next bar and swing on. And it's scary. You're above 30, 40 feet in the air. It's unknown. It's frightening. But God has a word for that. And it's here. It says God answers. It's regeneration. And you might want to circle that word where it says God answers. Because it's about regeneration. It's about what God does with us. About what God does in us. And God has that. Because see, what matters is this. It goes back to that formula, and it's right here. God's truth about me equals my self-worth. It's not that performance trap. It's not that approval addiction. It's not even that blame game. And for sure, it's not shame that tells me who I am. It's Jesus Christ who tells me who I am. I look over my life. Like I said, I turn 60, and I look over my life, and I'm bold, and I'm confident, and I mess up. And I screw up, and I am a piece of work. But you know what? I'm God's piece of work. I walk around this place the other Sunday morning. It wasn't this Sunday, the other Sunday morning. I'm telling God, God, I'm sorry, but this is all I've got. That's it. Yeah. God, I was telling God, God, you don't have much to work with. Anybody ever feel like that? Or is that just me? You know, it's like, God, what? And I want to challenge us this morning to move on with God. See, because if we live in our past, we can't be who God called us to be. There was a song that I enjoyed and bought the record. My wife and I visited churches when we were in college because this group was going around singing. It was a family group out of Texas singing at different churches. And I love the song. And it went like this. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But praise God, I'm not what I was. Boy, I love that. I'm not what I want to be. But I'm not what I'm going to be either. But praise God, I'm not what I was. Do we let that past tell me who I am today? See, God has a different, it's called regeneration. And I gave, look at what it says here. He saves us, Titus 3:5. He saves us, not by works of righteousness that we had done. You don't earn this, you don't work for it, you don't deserve it. He says, not by works of you haven't done anything. You haven't been perfect. You haven't looked perfect. You don't have that approval. But according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and the renewal of this Holy Spirit. He regenerates us. Now, I had a lot of little illustrations about trapeze and circus and Abbott and Costello and stuff. Who here plays computer games? Anybody play computer games? Anybody? Anybody ever play Call of Duty? Anybody ever play that Call of Duty? Or what are some of those war games? Come on. You play those guys. I watched my son play it, okay? I've sat there in Georgia visiting my son, and he's playing his games, okay? And you get killed, all right? You get killed. You know, he's out there running around hiding, you know, killing these Germans and stuff. You know, and he's hiding as he's killing these Germans, but all of a sudden somebody walks up behind him, falls dead. But he's not dead. Well, yeah, he's dead, but 5 seconds later, you got to be dead 5 seconds, then you get to come back. Once you're dead 5 seconds, I don't know, is it five? Some of you guys who play might know more. I thought it was like 5 seconds. You get regenerated. You get brought back to life. Well, let me tell you what, that's what God's talking about here. I am dead to my old self. I am regenerated a new self. Does that make sense? Do you get the picture what God is saying? My past is dead. I don't have to live by my past. I don't have to live down to my past. I don't have to live up to my past. My past is dead. He has regenerated me. You watch that game, the guy, he dies, he's right there just a few seconds, boom, he's up and running again. Yeah. Gets killed again. It's like, I thought when you're dead, you're dead. The game, you don't play the game no more. That's the games I played. Yeah. No, you get regenerated. You keep going on and on and on. I don't know, until everybody else is killed or something. Yeah. But see, God regenerates us. And here's that definition. I want to make sure I'm going to go through this definition because I really love this. It's a rebirth. A rebirth. A renovation. A restoration. A being born again. Write this verse down here. Write John chapter 3 down. Would you write John chapter 3 by this? I'm not going to read that to you now. That's your homework, okay? Go read John chapter 3. Jesus is having a conversation of just about this in John 3 with a man named Nicodemus. Anybody? All right, go read that one. You're born again, a new birth. And here in Titus 3:5, that's why I put this, the term embraces both moral renewal and a new life. But with the stress on the latter, the new life. The grace of God works here by instruction and personal fellowship. I want you to circle that word, personal fellowship, because we're going to come back to that. But right now I want to talk about the instruction part. Two parts. It's instruction and personal fellowship. All right? You need to see this picture. We have changed. And so the instructions is this. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. The past, I'm a new creation. At 17 years old, I became a new creation. All right? Now I'm going to step you a little bit further because I want you to see this. I became a new creation. But what's amazing about God is he keeps recreating me, just like that game. I get shot, 5 seconds later, I can pop back up. You get shot again, 5 seconds later, you pop back up. Go play Call of Duty. Yeah. But you play those games. You get shot, you get up. Well, that's what the Christian life is. I was saved at 17, and you know what? I never made another mistake in my life. Somebody's laughing over here. Because you know that ain't true. Am I right? Some of you have been in my car and you've seen it not true. All right? See, I got reborn again at 17, but I am renewed every day. Anybody buy on that one with me? Anybody on board with that one with me? You know, I am born again, but I am renewed. That's what regeneration means. And that's what it means. This is David. I want to go on. David had that prayer. Remember I told you, Nathan confronted David. You know, you got to repent, David. You know, you think you've been hiding it? You know it, and everybody else knows it. You need to make it right. And so David goes to God, and Psalms 51 is David's prayer to God when he got busted for sin, okay? Now I want you to look at what he says here, beginning the latter part of chapter 51, verses 7 through 12. Take away my sin, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Make me hear sounds of joy and gladness. Let the bones you crush be happy again. Turn your face from my sins. Wipe out all my guilt. Create in me a pure heart, God, and make my spirit right again. Do not send me away from you or take your Holy Spirit away from me. Give me back the joy of your salvation. Keep me strong by giving me a willing spirit. That's a wonderful prayer that David is praying here in this Psalms. But there's three things I wanted to pull out for this from you. And I want you to see these three things. The first one here, if you're looking at your outline, it's regeneration is a rebirth. It's a rebirth. Listen to what he said. He said, take away my sin and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be. Why don't you go back up there and circle those I will be's? Because listen, God does that to him. It's a rebirth. He's being born again. He didn't do it. God did it for him. I will be. It's not, well, I'll wait and see. We'll see how good you do and then we'll make a decision. Did it really stick? Is it really true? Yeah. That's what we say as humans. But God is saying, listen, if you come to me, you will be made new. You will experience a rebirth. That past is gone. That garbage is gone. I am not what I was. I am not what I was. I have a rebirth. I am born again. And he's painting that picture. And I love that. I will be. It's not I might be. I could be. We'll wait and see. I will be clean. I will be whiter than snow. My past is gone. I am not a prisoner of my past. But then I also put this down. A regeneration means a new life. I have a new life. Not only is my past gone, I get a second chance. Like I say, you play those games on computer and you die again, you get up again. You get a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. I don't know when the game ends. I never seen the game end. Yeah. But you get a second, you get a new life. I like those words as I went on in that poem. Make me hear sounds of joy and gladness. Let the bones you crush be happy again. He's sitting there saying, listen, take my shame and make joy. Take my guilt and give me peace. Take my regrets and give me happiness. Does that make sense? See, that's that new birth. That's that new life that God wants to give us. See, the past is gone. And the last one I put here is regeneration creates a clean heart in you. That heart has changed. It has transformed. You know, I have a clean heart. And that heart was the essence of a man. It's the essence of who we are. When you read God's word, the heart is that beat. It's that soul. It's that decision maker. It's everything. And see, God gives you everything. You get that clean heart that he's describing here. And I think this is a great picture that God paints for us. See, we can let our past dictate who I am today. In the stuff, in the garbage, my decisions, my regrets, my guilt, my inferiority, my self-pity, my bad behavior. It's just who I am. We can let our past dictate all that garbage in our life. Or we can reach for that new bar and swing out anew and swing out different and not look back. But we got to let go of the past. And see, that's a challenge. It's not easy to do. It's scary. What do I do with all that? How do I deal with all that? Well, it's real easy. You don't. You don't. Jesus did. Does that? Do you get the picture? This is who we are. This is who I am. I am not that person anymore. I am this person today. And I got something new for you too. You know what? I'll be a different person tomorrow. Because of who God is. See, if we let the world define us, if we let the world pigeonhole us, then we're going to have shame. We're going to have guilt. We're going to have regret. And we're going to carry that baggage all our lives. Anybody got friends like that? Come on, don't shake your head because then I'll catch my attention. But you know, you have friends like that just carry a bunch of garbage with them? Anybody? Hopefully it's not you. But we got to let that go. Because we're not who we were. We're who we are with Christ Jesus. I'll tell you a story about a gentleman in the Bible. His name is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. I can tell you the story like that, but I'm not going to tell it that way. All right. Zacchaeus was a short guy. He was vertically challenged. Let's put it in today's terms. Politically correct. Not only was he vertically challenged physically, but morally, all right? Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Now, most of us do not like, if you work for the IRS, I'm sorry, but I don't like IRS workers, all right? Yeah. That's just not high on my list. Now, I wouldn't mind having a government job where they pay me like that, but that's not. Yeah. And so he made his living by being a traitor to his people, all right? He was a traitor to the Jewish people. He was working for the Roman government, who they hated. Not only did he work for the Roman government, who they hated, he was one who made his living by cheating you. All right? He was a wealthy dude that made his living by cheating you. Yeah, he had to give the government some money, but anything else he could get out of you was his. All right? He was not a well-liked guy. He wants to see Jesus. Jesus is coming to town. He wants to see Jesus. Now, do you think anybody's going to let him cut in line? Ain't no way he's going to crowd in through those people. Yeah. Here's Zacchaeus. No, you ain't letting him in there. You know, they ain't going to cut that guy any slack whatsoever. So Zacchaeus climbs a tree. Anybody know where I'm going with the story? Come on. Some of you guys heard this as a kid, right? Climbs a tree. Jesus says, come, I want to go eat your house. Come down and let's go eat. He goes to his house. All right. Zacchaeus had a choice. Zacchaeus is that guy swinging on the trapeze. He has a choice. He's in the house with Jesus. What does he do? He has his past. A past that he is not liked. He is despised, disrespected. But he has a choice. Look at what it says happens. Luke 19:8. But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, I will give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone, I will pay back four times more. He's saying, I'm letting go of my past, and I'm going to make it right. I'm letting go of all that stuff. And I'm going to tell you. Now he's got to go out and tell everybody. I think it's hard enough telling the Lord. Now he's got to go out and say, man, I'm sorry I stole from you here. I'm sorry I stole from you. I'm sorry. And now how many people? How big's the town? 1,000 people? 2,000 people? Think that guy might have been scared? Now how am I going to make a living? Now how am I going to pay my bills? Now how am I? He had to let go of all of his past, all of that stuff, and swing out new. See, I want to challenge us this morning. It's a heartache for me to hear people talk about being imprisoned by the stuff of the past. You know, those decisions. Those situations, those words that slip from our mouth, those actions that we regret. You know, it's how do we deal with those situations? What do we do? And see, what I want to challenge us with this, you got to let go. And you got to be regenerated. It's a new life. It's a rebirth. It's a cleansing that God gives us. But he does it for us. It's what he does. See, that's what God says. That's the instruction. And at the end of every page, at the end of all these sermons, I want to go back to what it said at the very end. I had this little phrase right here. Faith is more than a belief. It is a relationship. See, letting go of that bar and reaching to the new bar is creating a relationship with that bar. You had to trust that bar. You had to depend on that bar. You had to count on that bar. So I want to challenge you this morning. Do you trust God? See, I think a lot of us trust God to take us to heaven, but we don't trust God to get us through today. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That we trust God that I'm going to heaven. I am heaven bound. I have no doubt. One time I was talking to a car salesman. What he told me? He said, you ought to be a car salesman. Because I was telling him about Jesus. I said, I have no doubt I'm going to heaven. He said, you ought to be a car salesman. I have no doubt. I am going to heaven. Period. And it's not because I'm a preacher. It's not because I'm Gary the Great. It's because Jesus died for me. I am going to heaven. But I'm going to tell you something else. I have eternal life today. See, I'm free from all of that. You know, I could bring aunt and uncles here, could tell you some great stories about what Gary did. You know, that fortunately, through Christ, I've buried them. They're gone. That past trash was nailed to a cross. See, but it's from a relationship with God. Let me give you a little hint. Here's a little hint. Take it for what it's worth. If you're struggling with who you are, go back to the relationship with Christ. It's that simple. If you're struggling with life and the issues and the battles, maybe a past, you're struggling with all that, go to God. It's a relationship with God. See, it's not simply, well, I have faith. The devil believed in God, didn't he? It says he even trembles. A lot of people believe in God, but they don't even tremble here in America. Am I right? Yeah. But we say we have faith, but we don't act like it. We don't have a relationship. So I'm going to be real cool. I'm going to be real plain with you. You take it for what it's worth. You need to have a quiet time. You need to be in church. You need to be in a small group. All right? If you're struggling with life, you're battling with life, you're battling with trash, you're battling with garbage, you're battling with... Say you have faith, but do you have a relationship? And a relationship means you're here Sunday. I want to see you here next Sunday. Hint, hint. You know? Relationships mean you get in a Bible study this week with somebody sitting around you, somebody sitting near you. You get in a Bible study with them. It means you sit down tomorrow morning and you open your Bible, and if you just read one verse, you read God's Word and you talk to Him. That's a relationship. See, it's real simple. When I'm struggling with who I am, I go back to who God is. And am I connected? Does that make it easy? Does that make it simple? See, I want to challenge us this morning, but you got to let go. Yeah. I like watching those trapeze. They go and they swing across. One guy's got one hand, he grabs this other one. Now he's sitting in between the two. Now he's stuck. I think a lot of Christians get stuck. They want to go to the new, but they don't want to let go of their past. And they're kind of hanging there 30 feet in the air like, now what do I do? Let go of the past and swing to the new life. Does that sound good? See? But we let the past, that shame, tell me who I am. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not even who I'm going to be. But praise God, I'm not what I was. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. 17, I made a decision. I was born again at 17. But I am regenerated every day. And just to be on the safe side, just to be honest with you, it might be more than once a day, okay? Yeah. Because the devil is active. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Isn't that John 10:10? Write that down. John 10:10. You might want to read that sometime. What kind of life do you have? Look at what it says. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That verse, we don't comprehend that verse because I don't know how many of you have a yoke and oxen at your house. Anybody got an oxen and yokes at their house? We don't see that today. But here's what Jesus is sitting there saying. Jesus is sitting there saying, listen, I'm pulling this cart, those burdens, that trash, that garbage, you know, that you have. I can take that. My burden's light. Step in with me and form a relationship. That's what the yoke did. The yoke tied them together. And we can get through this. I want to challenge you. Are you tied to Jesus today? Do you have a relationship with him? Not do you know him, but do you have a relationship with him? I challenge you. Because in that relationship, when you're in that relationship, you have all this coming right here. Look at what it says. We are deeply loved, completely forgiven, fully pleasing, totally accepted, and complete in Christ. When you stand in a relationship with God, this is true. You may feel by shame of all that trash in the past, all that garbage, all that stuff. You may have that guilt. You may have that regret. You may have that pessimism. You may have all that stuff going on. But that's what the world says. Over here, hooked to Christ, hooked to God, I am totally loved, completely forgiven, fully pleasing, totally accepted, and complete in Christ. That's who I am. I look at my life and I go back over my life. I look at being raised, growing up, and who I am today. And you guys know me. I am confident. I am bold, at least here in front of you guys. I do some crazy stuff. How can I do that? It's because of who Jesus Christ is. Because I guarantee you, I'm going to walk out of here and make some mistakes. That's just the reality. That's just the truth. There's no God. I've been here 31 years. Some of you guys seen some good and you've seen some bad. But Jesus changed everything. As I wrap up this series, I want to be as honest and true. Do not get trapped by the performance trap. Do not think it's perfection and success that will make you feel good about who you are. I don't care how much success you have, you still want more. They did a study asking people, how much more money do you need? You know, across the board, as they balanced everything out, they went through and asked somebody who made $10,000, somebody who made $40,000, somebody, they went down and asked all the way up to people making millions of dollars, asked them, how much money do you need to be happy? You know what? Everybody needed about 20 to 30% more. If I just made the $20,000, if I just made $40,000, I'd be happy. They asked if I just made $60,000, I'd be happy. They went right up the ladder, just a little bit more. Success and perfection will not make you happy. Getting that person to love you, getting that person to like you, oh, I just got to do everything, They'll love me if I do this, and they'll love me. I'm going to tell you, you get them, and then you regret you got them. Come on now, some of you guys know what I'm talking about. I got to get approval, I got to be liked, don't get trapped by the world, by that approval addiction. Don't get involved in some blame game. Well, And don't get beat up with shame. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are His. I've enjoyed this series. I pray you have. That you'll go out of here a different person. Let go of that other bar and swing out. Yes, it's unknown and yes, it's scary. But I'm going to tell you what. I have awesome life. Do I have pains and problems? Yes. For some of you, I've been your pain and your problem. And I'm going to be. But I'm going to tell you what, I am having a blast. Am I always happy? No. I might put a smile on, but I'm not always happy. Is it always fun? No. But you know what? Life is exciting. Life is a joy. Do you have that? Will you let go of the past? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your words and your truths. That it's not what we do, it's not what we earn, it's not what we deserve. It is the grace of God that sets us free. You know, as I'm praying and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and Maybe there's some things in your life that you need God's grace to cover. Maybe there's some things that you need to let go of, some things that you need to put behind you. Maybe you need to pray what David prayed there. God, create in me a clean heart. God, renew my spirit. God, if you want me to pray for you, just shoot your hand up. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the lifted up hands, which represents the lifted up heart. Those who want to fill your spirit and pray like David. Lord, I ask you to create a clean heart in them. Encourage their spirit. Set them free to a new life. Let them not only look for an eternal life in heaven, but an eternal life right here. Encourage their spirit. Strengthen their heart. And Lord, for those things of the past, we bury them in the grace of God. We cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. We throw them as far as the east is from the west. And we walk out a new person, a new life, renewed, reborn, a child of God. Encourage them. Inspire them to be your people in a world where Satan destroys. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our practice as Christians and as a church to give an invitation. Invitation is real simple. I'm just here to pray with you. I'm here to share with you. I don't know. Maybe there's some things you need to talk about, you want me to pray about. Maybe there's something I didn't even talk about in the message, but God has laid on your heart. This is your time to let God speak to your heart. But I'm here to minister to you. I'm here to serve you. And so we just always give an invitation to give you an opportunity to respond to what God is doing, to find strength and encouragement in Him. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to sing this song. And would you come as He leads? Because He knows your name. Amen. Let's go ahead and be seated. Couldn't find a better song to end with, and God's grace, and He's yours. I pray you know that. I pray you walk out confident in who God is, not who you are, but who God is. I just thank you for being here. In your worship folder, and there's a little blue card. I ask you to pull it out. This might be your first time. This might be the thousandth time you filled one out. Take a minute and fill it out. Let me know what God is saying to you. Maybe there's a way we can minister to you. Maybe you have a question about something we shared. Maybe there's a need you want me to pray about. I read these. I pray over these all week long. So just make a little note. So let me know what God is. That's my communication card. So take a few minutes. I'm going to go ahead and have our ushers come forward. One of them will lead us in a word of prayer. Then you drop that blue card in the offering bag, and we'll give God the glory and the honor.
Just missed the pyrotechnics. And the choreographed number by the choir, hashtag amazing. This has got to be the greatest thing that I've ever seen anywhere.
I mean, I'm on my third Kleenex, bro.
But I'm sure they're going to put it on the Facebook page soon.
Right. What? Facebook? No. No, you know what? That is what's wrong with this church.
The Facebook page?
No, I'm talking about the Facebook. I'm talking about the sheer fact that I've been coming to this church for years. For years! And the service times have always started the exact same time. For years. And then all of a sudden, out of left field, they want to change that. Did they consult anybody? No, they did not. Did they stand up there and ask the congregation, hey, congregation, what do you think about this? No, they did not. I didn't vote for this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to march in there, and I'm going to release the Kraken on the pastor, and then I'm going to go find another church.
Wait.
What are you doing? Why didn't you just tell him it's daylight savings time?
Stop the sermon! If anybody comes by the apartment, stop dropping!
And miss this?
So now you've been informed. We have coming up, and you saw all this information in your bulletin. There's a little envelope and a flyer, and there's some information printed in your envelope. We do this every year. It's for Annie Armstrong Easter Offering. I'm not going to tell you all the details. There's a lot of information in there, but I do want to point out this little pamphlet. This is such a great piece of information for you to kind of look through. It gives you all the information what this stands for. It's North American Missions. Every little bit of this, the money that's given to this, goes to help North American missions and all the missionaries across the U.S. and in Canada. And so if you look, it does a whole breakdown and shows you that. But I thought this was a really good guide that you can take with you, put it in your Bible, or wherever you pray. I hope you all pray daily. And this would be a great little thing. You can just pop it open and pray for these missionaries every single day. And it goes one through, you know, day one through seven. So I would just encourage you, just do it day one through seven this week, start over next week, and just keep doing it, because these people need prayer, right? So our church goal is $500. You can see what the nationwide goal is in here, but we're always working towards helping this, and our church is part of the Southern Baptist Association, which is part of that. So, and then coming up, it's not this Saturday, just so you know, it says up there, it's March 14th is our breakfast coming up for our church, and so we want to make sure you know about that. It's at Denny's, so that's a heads up, put it on your calendar, and then we have open mic coming up towards the end of March. I do want to say really quick, if you missed movie night last night, oh my goodness, we had way too much fun. We watched a fun movie, we had popcorn, we ended up with popcorn all over the place, it was great. But we had such a blast, and so if you missed that, plan for the next one. But at the towards the end of the month, on March 21st, we're having open mic, and we have some really exciting things planned for that. We've got some fun things we're putting together, so if you're wanting to participate, let me know. I'll put you on the calendar. You don't have to plan anything major. You can do a little song, or you can do a little reading. Gary gets up here and makes a fool of himself. It's just fun. So come and be entertained, if nothing else. But 6 o'clock on the 21st. I think that's it.
Wait, and then on Annie Armstrong, if you want to donate, make the check up to the church, and then just put in the memo, Annie Armstrong.
All right. I'm glad you guys were here. Otherwise, it'd be pretty boring preaching to nobody. So I'm glad you guys were here. I appreciate you being here, putting up with me. And I already made a fool of myself this morning, so I'll do it again. I'm having a great life. It's not always fun, though. Anybody? You know, it's a good life, but anybody got problems besides me? You guys probably have an easy life. You guys probably have no problems, no worries, no stress. You guys got it made. But I'm glad you guys are here. Let's stand up. We're going to close with a word of prayer. Easter is 5 weeks away. My question is, who will you bring? Who are you going to bring for Easter Sunday? More people come on Easter Sunday than any other day during the year. So if you say, my friends never come, well, did you ever ask them to come on Easter? Yeah. Invite. Who are you going to invite? My next series is Come and See. I'm going to give you some tools on how to invite and how to reach out to your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, and share the message with them. So I just thank you for being here. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for who you are, what you do, the blessings you bring to our life. Life is not always fair. It's not always even or equal. And it always is full of stress, Lord. We all have different battles. We all have different struggles. But your God, take us, hold us up, lift us together, and let us be your people in this world today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing this last song. We're going to sing loud. What is it? Oh, yeah. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Enjoy.